Let's see. Kay, I might ask you to do this. I understand Noah's graduating this year, too.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you a little gift for him, too.
Okay.
And don't let me forget it. If I forget it, you let me know. Okay. Okay. I would like to invite your attention to a portion of the Word of God. It'll be found in John chapter 13. I'll read the first 17 verses, and then we will take a subject and try to speak to you for a few moments. I do desire an interest in your prayers. Feel very much the need of the help of God. So if you will join with me as we read John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, saith he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, to the best of my ability, I read these first 17 verses from the 13th chapter of John. And I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it'll be for our good and for his own honor and glory. I want to speak to you today for just a little while and use as my subject humility and service, or humble service. Humble service. The lesson that I read to you today is not about foot washing. You know, although it is a record of a time when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. But it's about being humble enough to render unselfish service to the Lord and to one another. That's the lesson of this 13th chapter of John. I know there are people who, from time to time, they have services in their churches where they wash feet, and that's all right if that's what they want to do. And some have made foot washing a cardinal doctrine, even in their churches. But I don't think foot washing has anything at all to do with salvation. I don't think it has anything to do with the fundamental doctrines of the Bible. The teachings of the church of the Lord Jesus. I think that it was an example, and that's what Jesus said it was. It was an example that we should serve one another. We should be humble. We should not think of ourselves more highly, as Paul said, than we ought to think. We should always be ready to condescend, and to be of service to anyone and to everyone that we come in contact with. Now, I know that, most of us, we like to have recognition. We like to be recognized. There's not a preacher living that doesn't enjoy having someone come up and say, "Preacher, I really enjoyed your sermon." That's just the way we are. We're human beings. No singer, that doesn't enjoy having someone walk up and say, "I really enjoyed your song. It was a blessing to me." And so we do enjoy recognition, and we even enjoy praise, But that should not be the object of our service. Our service to God should be because we honor Him, and because we love Him, and because we want Him to be exalted and His name to be praised. Not that we should receive any recognition for anything that we do. Because we are just servants. We are sinners saved by grace. And we have nothing wherewith to boast, And so I wanted to try to make this as plain as I can. Now, we read in the Bible also, about Jesus. In fact, let me digress just for a moment and say this. You read the Bible, and there's not any of it was handwritten by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus, but He Himself did not write it. God moved upon holy men. And they were led by the Holy Spirit. They wrote the Word of God. And their writings is about Jesus. Jesus didn't brag on Himself. He was not a bragger. He didn't brag upon Himself. But others did, The Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so the Lord Jesus is the focus of the Bible. I believe that He is the focus of the Bible all the way from Genesis to Revelations. But He Himself did not exalt Himself in those things. But these holy men of God, God moved upon them, and they wrote about the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus did while He was here in the world. Now Jesus said to the disciples in the 13th verse that I read in your hearing, He said, "You call me Master and Lord, and well," He said, "it's well that you do that. because I am your master and your Lord. And that he was not bragging. That was just a fact, you know. Jesus is Lord. He was declared to be the Lord. He was the Messiah, the one that had been promised that would come from heaven and would sacrifice himself on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of heaven and of earth. And so he said, now you all refer to me as being your master and being your Lord. And he said, that's good, because I am. And he is. He is still Lord of heaven and earth. And he forever shall be. You see, he was teaching them a very important lesson. Now, in the book of Isaiah, we read about the suffering Savior. I said Jesus was no bragger. He was humble. And the prophet Isaiah wrote concerning him that he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, the Lord Jesus came to be a servant. He came to serve mankind. I noticed this morning on the news that the spacecraft that left Florida, maybe it's yesterday or the day before, I'm not sure. I don't remember for sure. But it had docked with the International Spacecraft. And that reminded me of what Neil Armstrong said. You know, he was the first astronaut on the moon. And he took his first step, and he said, one small step for man, and one giant step for mankind. Now you say, what's that got to do with this? Well, I'm telling you, when Jesus came to this world, that was the greatest step for mankind that the world's ever known. Amen. Jesus came to be a suffering Savior. Now we read in the Bible, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, where the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I don't know if I can quote it or not, so I'll just turn over there to it. I used to could quote it. And this is what it said. Who, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God. Now, Jesus, he was equal with God. In the Godhead, there are three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. They are equal in every divine perfection. What you can say about one, you can say about the other. They are in complete harmony in everything that they did and everything that they do. When God created man, it's recorded in the book of Genesis that God said, let us make man. So there was the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so he was God, equal with God in every way. But listen to what it says about him. It says, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come to this world to make a reputation for himself. He came into this world to be a servant, to serve other people. And he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. What a condescension it was for Jesus to step out of glory and to step into this world in the form of a man. But that's what he did. And he was found in fashion as a man. And the Bible said he humbled himself. He humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the Lord Jesus, he came from heaven and he became a man. And in his humility, he served mankind. He served other people. He died for every person, you know. He didn't just die for a select few. I can't hardly stand to think about the doctrine that Jesus, you know, made a limited atonement for sin. His atonement was not limited. Jesus died for every man, regardless of whether a person is rich or poor, whether he was a Jew or whether he was a Gentile, whether he was a heathen, you know, whether he was morally good or whether he was, a despicable criminal. Jesus died for every man. And he proved that when he was on the cross of Calvary. Because there was a thief. He was a guilty man. He acknowledged that. He said to his the other criminal that was crucified on the other side of Jesus. This other criminal was railing upon Jesus. And he was saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. And this one criminal, he said, man, don't you fear God? Said, you and me, we're up here on these crosses because we're guilty. We're sinners. And we've been convicted and we've been crucified. But he said, this man hath done nothing worthy of crucifixion. So he acknowledged that he was a sinner and a criminal. And you know what Jesus did? This man said to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so Jesus tasted death for every man. And he became a servant that he might be able to do that. Now the Bible also says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him. He highly exalted him. And he gave him a name that's above every name. And the Bible said that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so Jesus, that's the example that he set, you see. He was humble. He was a suffering servant. Now, I don't want to get in today to the sufferings of the Lord Jesus because that's a sermon in itself. But Jesus, he was, as I said, despised and rejected. He was, not only despised and rejected, he was smitten. He was afflicted. And then he was crucified. And as the song says, what an awful death he died to pardon you and me. All alone, when Jesus died on the cross, he cried out in the darkness. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, the Father forsook Jesus when he died on the cross because he became sin. That's what the Bible said. He became sin for all of us. And God is of pure eyes to look upon sin. And when Jesus was dying on the cross and paying the penalty for my sins, God looked away from Jesus and he looked to me, looked toward me. You know, we're really blessed, folks. We're really blessed. Jesus loved us. Aren't you glad for that? He loved us. And he became a servant. He became a slave. He became a slave of sin so that you and I could be set free. But I want to go back over here just for a few minutes and talk some more about this 13th chapter of the book of John. Jesus said, you know, do you understand what I have done? Well, every one of them knew that Jesus took a pan of water and he went around one by one and he washed their feet. Everyone knew that. Now, back in Bible days, they didn't have a house, you know, with three baths, you know, or a shower, or even a bathtub. Especially poor people, common people, you know. They'd go to the public bath and they'd take their bath. They'd wash their bodies. And then they'd put their sandals on and walk home down the dusty road, you know. And Jesus, you know, he spoke about that they were all clean. That was having reference to their spiritual being. They were clean because they had been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus. And you know, your feet has reference to your walk through life. Paul said in Ephesians, you know, that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we use our feet to walk around and to walk through life and the things that we do. Now our souls have been washed and purified and made clean. The Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through sanctification of the Spirit and the sprinkling of blood. When the blood of Christ is applied to our souls by faith, we're clean. But as we walk through this life, sometimes we may get our feet dirty. And I think this is the picture that we have here. These disciples, they were clean. Jesus declared that they were. But their feet were not. They still walked through this world. And so Jesus washed their feet. And he said, do you understand what I've done? Well, as I said, they all understood what he had done. But he wasn't showing them how to wash feet. That was not what he was doing at all. He was showing them how to humble themselves, how to be a servant to other people. You know, how to lay aside our pride and how to just humble ourselves and be of service to the most lowly even that you could meet here in this world. So Jesus said, now there's a couple of examples, and I'm going to preach too long if I'm not careful. But there was a couple of examples. You know, one time Jesus had just told the disciples about what was going to happen to him. 20th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 17. Jesus told them, said, now we're going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be arrested. He's going to be killed. He's going to be buried. And he's going to rise again from the dead. And Zebedee's wife, now Zebedee was the father of James and John. They were called the sons of thunder. And so she came up to Jesus and she said, well, he said, I got a request. Jesus said, well, what is your request? Well, I want my sons to set one on one side and one on the other when you come into your kingdom. And she said, well, Jesus said, that'll be given to whomsoever it's prepared. You know. Well, anyway, they were concerned. You know, she was concerned about their sons who had been faithful followers of Jesus being honored. But Jesus, you know, he said unto them, let me get over here to the 20th chapter. I was in the wrong chapter. And over here, Jesus, that was in the 17th. Let me find it. Oh, I'm in John. You never find Matthew 20 in the book of John. All right. Jesus, he said, you know, that it would be given to those that for whom it was prepared. And when the 10, the other 10 disciples, they heard this, they were moved with indignation against these two brethren. I understand that to mean they were jealous. They didn't think that they deserved that high honor, and so they were jealous. And Jesus said unto them, I want you to get this. He said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Do you know, we teach and we preach that we are equal with one another. We're saved by grace, every one of us. We have nothing to boast of or brag about, you know. Whatever you do, you know, we don't have the permission to boast about it. Look what I did, you know. We are equal and we serve each other. He said, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Now that don't mean preacher. That means one who ministers to another. And he said, and whomsoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even so, the Son of Man came not to minister unto, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom. Now that's one of the examples where Jesus was teaching, you know, that we should be humble, and that we should be servants. Over in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Bible tells us the disciples came and said, Lord, who is the greatest in your kingdom? Who is the greatest? And Jesus took a little child, a baby, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, whosoever among you shall be as this little child shall be the greatest. You know, children, they are dependent. They are trusting, you know. They are loving. And so Jesus said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you be like this little child. You know, you just depend upon the Lord, and you have faith in Him, and you trust Him, you know, and that will make you a great servant in the kingdom of God. I'm almost finished. I'll get back here, and I'll wind this up. I wanted to say this about Jesus earlier, and I let it slip my mind. I was talking about Jesus. The Bible says in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Peter was down at the household of Cornelius, and he was preaching down there. And this is what he had to say about Jesus. He said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And he said, and we are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed himself alive openly. Showed himself openly. Now, Jesus went about doing good. Just a humble servant of God. He did not seek, fame. He did not seek fortune. Well, I suppose one of the closest, as I was thinking about this, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, on what is known as Palm Sunday, and the people were laying palm branches in the way, and they were taking their coats and laying them down, and they were praising God, and they were saying, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And somebody said, make them stop. Stop the noise, And Jesus said, you leave them alone. If they stop, the rocks will cry out, So that's the closest thing that I know of in the Bible to Jesus ever, desiring praise or recognition. Now, I could be wrong. I don't know everything's in the Bible. I could be wrong. But Jesus, he went about doing good. He didn't make any difference. He healed all that were oppressed, And he just was a servant. And so I'm going to close. But Jesus said now in this 13th chapter here of the book of John, he said, this is an example. I am Lord. And I have humbled myself and I have washed your feet. And he said, now, which is a service. And he said, I want you to do the same. Not necessarily, that you wash one another's feet. That wasn't a command. But this was the example of how to be of service to one another. And so I pray God will bless the message today. We're living in very difficult times. We really do need revival, Our country, how our country needs to come back to God. We've drifted so far from what we used to be. But we can come back. We can come back, But we have to humble ourselves. And we'll have to call on God. And we'll have to serve one another. I pray that our government, I pray that our Congress will wake up. I pray that they will recognize, that we need to go back to the principles that our founding fathers laid down for us. That we need to work together. That we should not be separating ourselves, fighting each other. It's important that we stand together. And that's true of a church too, We stand together. We work together. You serve me and I serve you, Not expecting anything in return. Just because I love you. And just because I love Jesus. And just because I love lost souls. And that's the way God planned it. for us to love one another and for us to be witnesses to one another and for us to tell the world about Jesus. May God bless you. I pray God will bless the message today, that it'll be for His honor and His glory.